This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Moving into the 4 o'clock hour, I want to say thanks again to Adam Schefter for joining us in that last segment. If you missed any of it, you can find it all on the Odyssey app or at weei.com. That's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, and that was Gerard Mayo you just heard talking about the other rookie QB, something we just discussed with Schefter, who was very steadfast in the idea that none of that's going to matter to the Patriots. And maybe to Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and those guys, it doesn't. But I do wonder if the Crafts are watching these rookie quarterbacks going to ball out in week three. And I know it took till week three for any of them to look good, but still, I mean, it's still very early in the season. And I wonder if they're looking at that and thinking, you know, that's buzz. That's excited fan bases right there. That, not all. I mean, Chicago's still got what they got going on there. But in Washington, they're doing backflips right now. In Denver, there's a bunch of yahoos out there in Denver. Of course, they love whoever the quarterback is. They're happy about Bo Nix right now. Like, that's something that you're not seeing necessarily in New England yet.
You just made me think of something in a slightly different way. Because okay. I feel like we've kind of really inside-outed the Drake May thing.
Totally.
From all angles.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one. You just used the phrase, ball out. We know for certain, even if the Patriots win games, Jacoby Brissett is not balling out.
Right.
Like, the totality of his career, his skills, it's just, it ain't happening.
Him balling out would be like 180 yards and two touchdowns.
Right.
Like, that would be, I'd be like, wow, he balled out in that game.
And
like,
it's funny you said it that way. Does balling out matter at some point? And I mean, the season,
if you're losing,
you're
yes.
losing,
if
you're
losing,
going down a
yes.
certain road, are the Crafts not just looking for, wow, the guy who gives us the best chance to win? No, no.
They're looking for
I
a
want
show.
Somebody to ball out.
Sell some
I
tickets.
Want somebody that the fans are going to jump up and down about. I want somebody that the radio is going to be talking about in a positive way and excited about, or that he's doing a post-game interview with Lisa Salters with a big smile on his face because he just had, you know, great numbers, or mm-hmm. you know, that famous Jonathan thing. Oh, the fantasy stats are going to be awesome today for whatever that was from that documentary.
Right.
If you're looking for somebody to ball out, and whoever you are, ownership, fans, you're ready for Drake May, correct? Because you know there's no balling out with
yeah.
Jacoby. For all his strengths,
right.
he is never going to ball out.
Yeah, even, well, I guess there's like the possibility, not that he balls out, but that he's the quarter. Like, Hunter Henry had a good game. He kind of balled out in that Seattle game, right? 100-plus receiving yards. That's
yeah.
a great game for Hunter Henry.
It's a great game for Hunter Henry. I don't know if it's balling out for the offense.
Maybe not for the offense.
People are like, you kind of rolled out and kind of flipped
yeah.
it to Hunter Henry 7 times for 12 yards each time.
Sure, but if he had, like, a touchdown or a couple touchdowns, then you'd say, wow, look at that line. He really balled out
but
in that game. They lost, but fine. I'm just saying, like,
is your 30-something tight end catching a couple touchdowns?
No, but what
like
if,
people want.
What
no.
if Jalen Polk does that?
We just saw Jaden Daniels.
What if Javon Baker does
50
that?
Yards to Terry McLaurin and then throw another bomb to Terry McLaurin to win a game? Like
mm-hmm.
that's balling out.
Yes,
right.
Agreed.
That so if you're looking,
that was one of the best games ever that any quarterback's ever had.
Right, and I'm not saying that has to be that, but
right.
if you're looking for deep balls, balling out, whatever, that's an interesting cut right there, the way I put that.
Yes, yes it is.
If you're looking for that sort of superficial, flashy, sexy offense passing game thing, then it's Drake May. It's just got to be Drake May, and I wonder if at some point that matters to anybody. Even if you're looking for, you know, the old Mick Foley cheap pop, like it's great to be back at Gillette Stadium and everybody cheers.
Mick Foley, the wrestler.
Yes.
Mankind. I remember Mankind.
Well, if you're looking for a cheap pop, it's Drake May.
What
like
else
somewhere along the line.
Cactus Jack.
Cactus
too, right?
Jack, yeah. Mankind, and who was the Dude Love?
I don't know Dude Love. I remember Cactus Jack and Mankind.
Dude Love
sure.
had like a tie-dye shirt, and he had Socko that he would jam down people's head, throat.
I thought Mankind was Socko.
Oh, I thought Dude
Mankind
Love was
had, had the sock.
Oh.
Right?
Okay,
he'd
maybe.
Pull out the sock. Yeah, I remember.
And then there were
it.
Times where I think he, like, changed characters mid-match or something.
Really?
From, like, from Dude Love to Mankind, Cactus
wow,
Jack,
okay.
that whole thing. I don't know.
That's about
anyway.
When I like stopped watching wrestling. Was
cheap
like the
pop,
rise of Mankind.
You veered in a different. I was just bringing up cheap pops. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a cheap pop at some point, even if you're Gerard May, you're like, yeah, we could use a little excitement, getting a little warm around here. It's always going to be Drake May. And I just wonder at what point does that factor into any sort of decision? Because right now they're fixated on what? We mocked it a little bit. Gives us the best chance to win.
Yep.
And that may or may not be true. We can debate that. But he doesn't give you the best chance at cheap pop or
true.
Entertainment or balling out or whatever phrase you want to use. You're looking for deep balls, balling out.
Then call us here at WEEI Afternoons.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. 617-779-7937. I can tell you who was discussing that very topic, and that is Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, our good friend Adam Schefter's co-workers over at ESPN, had a piece up today, or maybe it was yesterday, NFL Week 4, latest buzz, predictions, questions, and fantasy tips. And the first topic is, what are you hearing on who could be the next quarterback to get benched? Graziano talks about Malik Willis because Jordan Love like is going to be coming back soon. Gardner Minshew, who got benched in that last game. Aiden O'Connell came in and was okay, I guess. There was some more talk of that between the two of them. And then Jeremy Fowler says, I'm going to go with New England. The Drake May chatter only mushrooms from here. And the sense I got all offseason was that Jacoby Brissett would be the starter, but might need to win enough games to keep the job. That's an interesting way of phrasing that.
Will Juwan Bentley be coming back soon, Jeremy?
Juwan Bentley.
Remember that report?
Oh, yeah, right.
He reported he will play on Thursday night, and then
and
like
the
5 minutes
very
later,
optimistic about that. Yes.
He was out for the year, according to Crapsheet.
Then so. Rapsheet dropped the bomb on him there, which I still think was the Patriots trying to flush out a rat. I don't know if they did or not, but that's what that seemed like to me. Jacoby Brissett would be the starter, but might need to win enough games to keep the job. Jacoby Brissett's on like a win loss basis? Like, is that what the thing is? Because I don't think so. Like, that's... That it was never explained that way. It was never explained by Gerard Mayo that way, as in, like, we're going to need Brissett to win a bunch of games, otherwise we're going to have to make a change of quarterback. He's never presented it that way.
No,
maybe that's what they're saying behind the scenes.
But he did say gives us the best chance to win, so he's bringing winning into the equation.
True, yeah.
Now, I flipped that on its ear, and I tend to think it's the best chance to not get blown out, the best chance to avoid losing, that kind of thing. But this is where these blend together, and if there's... You know, at some point, we're going to be able to throw the ball down the field kind of mentality. Well, that could be a time for a transition. Now, I continue to say I think this is going to take care of itself, and I don't wish injury on anybody. And he said it again today. He keeps going with, I get up. I just get up. I always get up. I hope that is true. I hope
you never
always
keep
get
him
up.
Down, he also says.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He also drinks some whiskey drink.
He does not. I don't think that is... That
he drinks the vodka
actually,
drink.
This he had a long weekend, so who knows what he did this
he
weekend.
He drinks the cider drink.
He probably did.
And I forget what the last one is, but he drinks, that's what they do in the song anyway.
One bourbon. Isn't there a bourbon in there somewhere?
That's the whiskey drink, I think.
Oh.
I drink the whiskey drink, I drink the vodka drink, I drink the cider drink, I drink the lager drink. The lager drink is the
I like one. A good lager.
Yeah, who doesn't?
You should probably go to calls.
617-779-7937. If you have any thoughts on Mankind or Chumbawamba, you can discuss them here.
Knock.
Brendan is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey guys, I'm just
hey Brendan. That's enough. Hey. Go ahead.
I was just wondering. I just feel like I'm being set up all year to watch Jacoby, and they're going to sit Drake. And what would happen if they had the number one pick and there's Arch Manning or one of the top quarterbacks, and they don't take one, and they don't know what they have in Drake May, and then he's a bust. If they don't see what they have this year, and they're going to have a high pick next year, I feel like they're really screwing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible if you think Drake May is the wrong pick. Now, I know you don't. I know most people around here think that Drake May was exactly who they should have gotten, and he's got the best tools, and he's going to be a big, you know, strong mobile quarterback like Josh Allen.
Thank God he fell to them at three.
You think he's going to be? I remember the reactions here. Chris Scheim and you guys were all belly bopping in the studio after they made that
draft
pick.
Why shouldn't we be?
You were very excited about it.
Get the best quarterback in the draft.
I'm just surprised you didn't have a more negative reaction to the caller there, because he's saying if May's not the right guy and there's other quarterbacks coming out next year, which is a thing that I was on early on because I didn't love these quarterbacks, then did you maybe make the wrong call going to May when you could have gone to Carson Beck or Shador or Arch Manning or whoever the hell else in the years to come?
No, because I thought May was a multi-year type top five pick quarterback, not just, oh, this draft is bad.
He'll be good right away, yeah.
Like, I thought he is a special talent. I think he is a unique special talent. It may not work out. Just like it may not work out with, well, I'm pretty sure it won't work out with Shador because I have no faith in him. Arch Manning is staying. By all accounts, he's staying 4 years at Texas. That was the story making the rounds this weekend. Beck.
Well, that was before. I mean,
I don't love Beck.
Yeah, Bex, I was just thinking of
he's
QBs
not really,
who are out there right
no,
now.
No, I know. And so, like, you're kind of whittling. I'm not a Ewers guy. I'm not a Quinn Ewers guy. So you're kind of whittling down the pool of quarterbacks for this year, which a lot of people were doing last year. They were taking that into account, that it may not be a – because Caleb Williams was a generational-type talent,
right,
supposedly. And Jaden Daniels can't – like, this was seen as a deep, quality quarterback class with multi-year prospect Drake May in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of why I wanted him. Now, I think the caller's also alluding to, though, how much time do you need before you can decide whether you hit or missed on Drake May? Like, can he needs to play so you can try to make a decision that you hit or you missed if you wanted to do the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray thing and go
right
back into the draft, or you could end up what the Carolina Panthers are. Adam Schefter told us last week he's done mm-hmm. in Carolina. He's not. It's over there. So they went two games too far. Because couldn't they have looked into getting a quarterback this year?
They could have, yeah.
Six quarterbacks go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They could be like, yeah, we need to go get one of those. Because they didn't have a first-round pick, right? Because they traded it for him.
Right.
So they would have had to trade up into the first round. But whatever, if you need a quarterback, you find a way to go
you
get
do
a quarterback.
It. Yeah, you go and do it.
So how many games do you need so you don't become the Panthers and screw that up and don't realize till next September, October that Drake May stinks?
I don't think that they're...
The New England Patriots select Drake May.
Let's go!
North Carolina.
Got him.
Got a quarterback, baby.
And then everybody just stripped naked right here in the studio.
Can you see?
It was quite a moment. But yeah, I think that, you know, you don't want to do it. And I think that this group, I mean, this is their first draft. This is Elliott Wolf's first draft pick.
Yep.
They're not going to just give up on him. Right. Even if he does go out there and not play well, they're not going to give up on him. That would reflect poorly on them. I think that's something it's kind of the same thing with Kraft and Gerard Mayo. You know, you're moving on from Bill. You're starting over, basically, with a whole new direction in the organization, and Drake May's a big part of that. They're not just going to give up on him after 1 year, even if he plays starting now for the rest of the season and sucks. They're not going to do that.
And that was one of the working theories on why you don't play him, because if you don't play him, there's that doubt that, oh, you just developed him and he's going to be Mahomes. He's going to be great in year two.
Right.
If you play him and he stinks, you've exposed yourself. You've shown your hand, and that in terms of job security for them and looking smarter longer rather than dumber sooner, you don't play him. You slow play it. Now, I think that's a terrible idea. I think they like him. I think Elliott Wolf likes him. I think Alex Van Pelt likes him. Now, they may not like him to play this week or next week. They may still think he's raw. They may whatever. But I think they still believe. Have you heard any, there's been organizational remorse and or whatever for the pick of Drake May? You haven't heard any whispers, right? And I feel like,
but it's because he hasn't played.
If he wasn't playing, because don't you think we might start to hear whispers of, you should see
he's
him
not
practice.
Getting it in practice.
He stinks.
He's getting all these snaps and it's
not
God, working.
It's
now,
not
yeah.
working.
You
like
can see that?
That has happened quickly before in a lot of places with players. So
yeah, and he looked good enough in the preseason. You know, he looked like he was
the head coach said he was the better player.
I mean, so did Mac Jones. Mac Jones looked pretty good in the preseason too.
Yeah, but we didn't know that in the core he was soft. He was
true.
Goo.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We will return with the expectations for this week. And if Jacoby Brissett is going to be the quarterback, how much success do you want him to have against these 49ers, who I think the Patriots can beat? We'll get to that right after Brian tells you what.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Trending.
The Jacoby Brissett theme song.
Yeah, and the text line called me out accurately.
Yes.
The 508. Andy, how the F did you confuse Chumbawamba with George Thorogood?
I didn't realize that you did that.
Oh, absolutely. When you started listing the drinks, I drink
the vodka.
I was thinking of one bourbon,
one scotch, and one
scotch.
Beer.
and one beer.
Right.
That's what I thought you were.
That's
so
like,
yes.
Oh, that's
you caught me.
That's George Thurgood. I thought it was like an old blues song.
Oh, I'm just assuming he knows what he's. That's definitely the song I thought it
okay.
was.
Okay. All right. Well,
so he
mind.
Caught me. Anyway. I was not thinking Chumbawamba.
Well, I mean, come on. You know, one's a great all-time, not at all one-hit wonder. The other's George Thurgood. So there you go. There is a little piece of news for someone who did fall down and not get up again. That's Juwan Bentley, who was placed on injured reserve today. The Patriots did not promote anyone from the practice squad to fill his spot. This according to Mike Reese. The possibility is they roll with 52 players through next week when Kendrick Bourne, Taki Taki, and Marte Mapu are all eligible to return. What do you think about that going into this Niners game? You're leading tackler is, I don't know what they have on their practice squad for linebackers, but not promoting anybody, that seems kind of rash.
Well, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this. You have the safeties. I'm sure at some point Mapu will be a consideration somewhere mm-hmm. along the way. But you have two safeties that are kind of box safeties, and you went out there with Raekwon McMillan.
Yep.
I'm a little dubious of him. I think he is a diminishing returns kind of guy. The more he plays, the more he may kind of get taken advantage of or look bad.
You have two linebackers on your practice squad. You have Joe Giles Harris and yep. O'Shawn Mathis.
And Joe Giles Harris, did he get activated last week? Did he get bumped up?
I don't know. Let me look.
But, yeah, they don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. They had a nice kind of little starting thing going, and now you don't have that. But I can also meet your concerns in San Francisco, or they may they'd be music to your ears for your upset. So the 49ers do a pre-practice injury report. Guys, okay. They sort of tell you what they're going to do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
And left tackle Trent Williams is ill, so he will not be practicing today.
Okay.
Debo Samuel, calf, will not be practicing today.
Okay.
Linebacker D. Winters, ankle, not practicing. Defensive
Good
tackle
player Winters, yeah.
Javon Hargrave, tricep, not practicing today.
Mm-hmm.
And tight end George Kittle with his hamstring will be limited.
Okay. That means he'll probably play, but all right. So, you know, he was out last week. But, yeah, that's
hamstring, a guy who runs routes, that could be an issue.
A lot of guys who feel like maybe they can, you know, I'm a little banged up here. We got the Patriots this week. Maybe let's take it easy this week. I could see that happening. I could see the Niners doing that.
And the more you pull away from it, now Jennings may just go off again and have 12 catches and touchdowns, and you're like, wow, they really are loaded out there. Must be nice. Or do you think Brandon Ayuk has any extra juice this week? Is there any... Like, I want to show the Patriots what they could have had. Or, like, I mean, they kind of wanted him and
they wanted them. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just posing it as a. It was
like, didn't he turn
topic.
Them down?
Yeah, he turned them down.
But
I mean,
maybe he wants to show off in front of them and see what you missed. It's like, you know, some woman wearing a hot dress to show you what you missed kind of thing. I don't know.
I can see that.
I'm just spitballing here. You have to question everything, Brian.
I thought Brian had a good, the reasonable question.
Shut it.
Either way, I think that Brandon Ayuk's probably going to look at the Patriots and think, hey, this is a bad team. I should be able to get my, you know, I should be able
That's
to
what
get
I
going
would be.
Here.
I'd be like, wait, DK Metcalf had what?
Right.
And
Garrett Wilson had a nice game.
Yeah.
Lazard had a nice game. Guys.
Or do the Patriots prove a point and just put Christian Gonzalez on him and shut him down because he's the best corner in football unless you ask PFF?
Well, it's not even about, you know, making a point. He's their only weapon that's healthy right now.
Well, Jennings.
Jennings.
You really continue to discount a guy that...
Who had a good game last week. That's
numbers.
True. He was good. Fine. But, I mean, in general, I'd say he's...
Fine.
He had a good game last week.
150
yes.
yards. Fine.
But whatever. Hunter Henry had a good game. He wouldn't say he was good. So, whatever. I think that, you know, it was one good game. And I think that... I don't know if Jennings had other big games this year, but either way, I think Brandon Ayuk is still considered their number one wide receiver.
Jennings
and
did not have other big games this year.
Okay, so
he had 2 for 37 in week two, and he did have 5 for 64.
That's not bad.
This week was his first
Pop Douglas
three touchdowns of the year,
and he was great against the Raiders. They lost the game, but he had a very good game. I'm not
very good.
Denying that. I just think that Brandon Ayuk's still going to be the primary focus of their offense, and that you're probably going to give him a little extra attention. And maybe it's because he turned you down. I think that could work the other way. The Patriots want to show Brandon Ayuk, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you'd be better off here than with the Niners. But same record right now.
Would you?
But that's what you want to demonstrate, right?
The place where they throw their receivers the ball like once every.
Once in a,
70 plays.
Once in a great while.
And only if you bitch first and whine about it and cry that you want the football. And mm-hmm. that
Who wouldn't want to be here?
I mean, listen, it sounds better and better the more
place
you describe
where
it.
It's lookout blocks galore up front for the quarterback whose statement, whose literally his like catchphrase now is, I always get up.
Yeah.
It's like his political
it's
slogan.
It's not like I'm going to
throw a bunch of touchdowns. Brissett in 24, I always get up. Like, I mean, that's not exactly a glorious thing to be known for.
It kind of is.
I mean, it's cool.
You're tough, yeah, right? Yeah, but you can't knock me down. I'll get back up.
Wouldn't you rather be known for balling out and throwing for 370 and four touchdowns?
Personally, I would rather.
Like Josh Allen? Like, Josh Allen?
I mean, he also gets back up, but that's not what he's known for.
No, he's known for embarrassing you any way you want him to embarrass you, with his arms, his legs, or any other way.
Pretty much. 617-779-7937. Mayo was asked.
Is that George Thurgood hit?
Yes. My favorite George Thurgood song. Gerard Mayo was asked today about what's going to happen if they could maybe move someone like Kyle Duggar, who's a big safety, up to play linebacker. Here's what he said.
Look, we're very flexible. He's done it before. Peppers has done it before. A guy not out there right now is Marte, which, you know, would be exciting to get him back out there. He's another candidate for that role you're kind of talking about. And saying that, you know, look, Jelani and Raekwon and those guys, they do a good job controlling the front. And I think having a guy like Duggar in the back end who has that communication with the linebackers, understands linebacker play, but also can disseminate the information, you know, to the sides, to the corners, to the stars, I think it's more important for him to be there. He does rock down. You know, anytime a safety rocks, here's my nugget. Anytime a safety rocks down into the box, he's really a linebacker.
I interrupted the nugget. I apologize there, Gerard. I thought he was done.
Well, he thought he was done, too, and then he decided he wasn't.
He's like, I got another nugget here for you.
A nug. Saucy nug for you. You want my saucy nugs?
It's raining nugs. The main takeaway I have from that is this is sort of what the NFL's been gearing towards for the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, are linebackers who are more like safeties and guys who can sort of get to the edge and contain a running, you know, Lamar Jackson or a mobile quarterback and that type of thing, and not some big lumbering linebacker who at the second level is going to get their ankles broken. I mean, I think that's something that you've been seeing now for years and years and years.
Yeah,
why everyone moves away from linebackers and why all these safeties, hybrid safeties, are so important.
But the problem
right now, it's raining nugs.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Coco.
The problem is, I don't really give a rat's ass where he lines up. Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers and Jawan Bentley were all on the field 100% of the time together.
Right.
So whether Duggar is 4 yards deep, 8 yards deep, or 12 yards deep, he's on the field. But if he's closer, like, somebody else has to be on the field, right? You have to bring somebody in. And if he's up where Bentley was, then it's Del Pettis or some, whoever the hell else their backup safeties are, Marco Wilson or one of those guys. So I don't care where you put him. Do whatever you want.
Jalen Hawkins?
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to play more if you're moving Duggar into a more Bentley-like role. I don't care what you call him or whatever. I'm just saying, Bentley, Peppers, and Duggar were 100% of the time players, and you removed a guy who played 100% of the time. You have to fill that void somehow, that actual player, or you'll have only 10 players on the field.
Yeah, true. And I think that when it comes to Duggar and his play at safety, I mean, he's a strong safety. He comes up a lot. He's good with the run, and he's good at, you know, marking tight ends and things like that. But I don't love him in coverage.
Didn't Aaron Rodgers just eat him and the rest of the safeties in the middle of the field alive?
Kind of what I'm getting at. Is that he's not a great coverage safety.
No, he's not.
Pretty good tackler, safety.
Now, he had the forced, I'm going to be nice and call it a forced fumble against the Bengals in week one.
Right.
Which I just think was that jackal being a jackal celebrating too early.
And he was on coverage when Gesicki dropped that one, too. So, yeah.
So he has been making plays?
He was around when good things happened, so it's kind of like making a play.
So maybe the closer he is to the line of scrimmage, he's around the ball more, he's closer to the line, maybe more good things will happen just around him.
And they're throwing to guys that he's covering, so there's that too.
Yeah, that's true.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to our good friend Steve in Fall River. Hello, Steve.
Let's start with agreeing on something.
Okay.
Can we agree if you pick out an all-time top 10, Drew Brees is going to be in everybody's top 10. I don't say where.
Not mine.
But everybody's top 10.
Not
top 10 quarterbacks or like all-time players?
Yeah.
Drew Brees would not be in my top 10.
Am I all-time top 10? I don't know.
Nope.
Probably not.
No chance.
Why? So we don't all agree, Steve. Sorry.
Rough stuff. Okay. Well, he's in a lot of people's top 10.
Sure. Okay.
You realize this team gave up on him? The San Diego Chargers gave up on him?
Yes,
they
did.
We agree the San Diego Chargers would have been better off retaining him and not spending that draft pick on Philip Rivers and taking another impact player to go with Drew Brees and LaDainian Tomlinson?
I don't know. Drew Brees got a lot better. Drew Brees got a lot better in Sean Payton's offense in a dome in New Orleans. That's a fact. And he was coming off a separated shoulder.
How about repeating that again, the first half of that? Drew Brees got a lot better. You can give me the qualifiers after that.
Well, okay. His numbers just weren't good.
Yeah, he wasn't great in San Diego, Steve. But I think I see what you're getting at.
You speak, like, Steve.
I think I understand what you're trying to say.
In other words, you cannot make a snap decision. I gave you.
Oh no,
is
this the 32 games thing? Oh no, no. Thanks for the call,
no,
Steve.
It's not you. It's not one game. It's not one season. That's insanity.
I said 32 games. I know you have some stupid
games.
Number.
32 games is two seasons.
Yeah, I know you have some stupid number that you think is the line.
You know what's
stupid for you after I tell you what it is to tell me the current Patriots quarterback has 50 stops. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about
how are we talking about?
We're talking about Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers and stuff.
How long
when I told you my rule, you need 1 to 30 stops. To get a baseline, 31 to 50 gives you what you are.
Oh.
31 to 50 gives you what you are. And then you say, "Well, Jacoby Brissett's on his 50th. He doesn't count. He's a piece of junk."
Okay.
Oh, that's hurtful. And nobody brought up Jacoby Brissett but you.
Yeah, no one brought him up. I honestly don't know what any of that call was about. I thought I was following him at first about, you know, what's his name? Brees wasn't good right away, and then he went to another team and he was better, and how you can't judge people right away. And I think that's a very unique situation. There's not a lot of examples of a Drew Brees type situation. Certainly not in the modern day, I wouldn't say. There's a lot of those.
It was a perfect storm of, I believe, Sean Payton and the Dome and Drew Brees getting better. Like, I think that's part of it. And getting healthy. Remember, he ended his career, I believe, the ending of his career in San Diego, he dove for a fumble and separated and dislocated or whatever.
Something like that,
his shoulder.
Yeah.
So he was damaged goods.
Because then they tried to draft Eli, and Eli wouldn't go there, and so they went with Rivers.
Swappage and the whole thing.
It's not you. It's not one game. It's not one season.
Why is he so angry? I said 32 games, and he said not one season.
Sounded like Schefter when we said Kraft shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Does he know Roger Goodell hasn't gotten his way quite that far yet to get 32 games in one season?
No.
It's two old seasons in one.
We're getting closer, though. I'd say with each passing year, it's getting closer with 32 games.
I feel like I accomplished something today. I've never heard Steve like lose his breath like that, get all fired up.
He was really pissed. I don't know exactly why. I mean, I don't know what he was trying to. Yeah, you do bring it out of people. That's true. We talked about the expectations for this week and how I think the Patriots. Not betting on it, but I do think that there is a path to victory for them here against this 49ers team that's very banged up and has a lot of their skill position players either on the shelf or maybe not at 100%. I could say the same thing about the Patriots and their offensive line, obviously. We'll know more about that later in the week. But in the event that this isn't the blowout of the century, a 3-4 score debacle here in San Francisco, and the Patriots either A, keep it close, or B, win the game, with Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback, is that a good or a bad thing?
I want them to keep it close but not win. I don't want to steal wins, because if you steal wins and then you get a couple of the winnable games, all of a sudden the draft pick goes to hell. If they keep it close, there is the overall team like, oh yeah, we hung with the 49ers. Because I think sometimes people forget the details. Like if you lose by 3 to the 49ers in a couple weeks, analysts, people are just like, I mean, you hung with the 49ers. They don't bring up who played, didn't play, banged up. They just, like, in your mind, they're the 49ers. So you get the value of that hanging with the 49ers. If you get blown out, I get to see Drake May in more garbage time. And then I think that leads nicely into my plan all along of week 5. If you win, I mean, do you really think a win is going to springboard you toward like a 10-win season in the playoffs?
I don't think that, no.
Okay.
But I do think it
would
be.
So I don't want it.
I do think it would be for the team and for, you know, sort of the organization in general, a major, major boost here in the first month. To finish the first month 2-2 with this team, this group, and after how they looked against that Jets team, I think that would be a pretty significant accomplishment.
Certainly a feather in Gerard Mayo's coaching
100%,
cap. Especially in light of win on opening day, Gatorade shower, and game balls for everyone, right?
The Gatorade shower is going to be unbelievable in San Francisco.
And then week 2, you choke with the game on
bathtub
the line.
Bathtub full of Gatorade.
We're done with Gatorade showers, right? Next Gatorade shower Gerard Mayo gets better be. Do we allow for it in his first playoff win if he gets one?
Yes.
Okay. So even if it's a wild card game on the road or whatever, wild card game next year.
Well, no, it has to be this year. It would have to be this year for it to not be embarrassing.
There's no chance.
There's no chance, but that's what I mean. So, like, if he won a playoff game this year and they do the Gatorade bath, fine.
Wait, if they go 1-16 this year and then next year go 10-7, make the playoffs and win a wild card game, you wouldn't allow for a Gatorade bag?
I guess if they go 1-16, I'd reconsider. If it was like such a disaster of a season and then they turn it around that much, then yeah, maybe it'd be okay.
But coach still. Of the year, Gerard Mayo, because in my scenario, if he goes from 1-16 to 10-7, I feel like he'll be coach of the year.
That is coach of the year credentials.
And he gets covered in Gatorade, even though, whatever, it's not.
All right, fine. It wouldn't be that bad.
Okay, because I was the... I didn't know how I felt about the Gatorade bath in week one. I'll be honest with you. And people got mad at me when I tweeted about it because I come from a very old school hardo world where that just felt a little weird.
You only get one first game.
And then as people fired back, that I was like, yeah, maybe I'm being a little too harsh. But we're done with them for the regular season. You can't, like, upset in San Francisco doesn't get you a Gatorade bath.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope not.
Who was the guy, Schwartz, who got... Made him carry carry him off the field?
But he asked, yeah. He made
like,
him.
Hey, can you guys carry me off the field? Like, that would be like akin, if you did two Gatorade baths for your first two wins and however many you have this year, that would be akin to Schwartz getting carried off the field.
But it would be definitely a feather in his cap. It would be a benchmark or... credibility, and also in light of the debacle of Thursday night.
Right.
It's not just tough place to play on the road. San Francisco.
Wipes that away for a while.
It kind of gets you out of, oh my God, they're spiraling out of control. They didn't tackle. Their players said they had no energy. What the hell happened? It saves you from that. It's kind of pulling up. Didn't he bring that, the ability, he said, for a quarterback to pull on the stick and pull the plane up in a nosedive? It's important for quarterbacks to be able to do that. It's important for head coaches to be able to do that, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will ask the question, do you care?
All right, it's quarter of five. Time to ask the question, do you care? We got a bunch of topics here that we couldn't quite fit into any other part of the show today, and we'll ask if you care about them or you don't care about them. Let's go ahead and start with the UNLV kid. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the quarterback of the UNLV Running Rebels, they're off to a great start, by the way, undefeated start, and their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, has announced his decision to sit out the rest of the season with an off-field dispute that has now got everybody all in a tizzy and everybody questioning and getting angry about this whole NIL world that we're living in right now with college athletics. Sluka posted on Twitter, "I have decided to utilize my redshirt year and will not be playing any additional games this season." He is redshirting over certain representations made to him not being upheld. According to the NCAA, a player can redshirt a season if they have played four or fewer games to give them an extra year of eligibility. He said, "I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me." Representations. "They were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it was clear those commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates best of luck and hope for the continued success of the program." Do you care?
I absolutely care. First of all, he's right. You know, by all reports now, he was told he was going to get $100,000. So just so everybody's aware, this was the Holy Cross quarterback last year. He was a star at Holy Cross, played 4 years, transfers via the portal, gets promised $100,000, even has representation, although probably questionable representation if they didn't get it in writing or proof of funds or whatever the hell you want to call it. But, you know, he was going to waste away and not get his money. And this is the dirty underbelly of what's a growing issue in college sports. And I think this is going to be more and more of a problem because we've seen these before, but it never was so dramatic. Remember that kid that was supposed to go to Florida for like $13 million over 4 years? And then the school was like, yeah, see, that money's not here anymore. And he ended up backing out because it was in the offseason.
Who was this?
There was a cornerback. He was going to go to the University of Florida for $13 million. Okay. They backed out.
I don't remember the story, but okay.
And the collective didn't have the money, blah, 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 whatever. But it was in the offseason. Now these promises are going to get broken in season. It's affecting rosters. This is like, I mean, we barely see this in the pros. Yeah, Hassan Reddick is not playing for the Jets, but they're few and far between.
Right.
And you almost never see it where a guy plays and then walks away midseason. This is the ugly side of all of this, and I don't know where it ends, but I'm on the kid's side. Unlike Jones, who was ripping the kid for abandoning his team, he was told he was going to get paid $100,000, and they're not paying him. What's he supposed to do?
One of the assistant coaches said that and then was like, actually, sorry. And then when he makes a big stink about it, UNLV comes out and says, "Matthew Sluka's representatives made demands upon the university and its NIL collective to continue playing. We interpreted these demands as a violation of NCAA pay-for-play rules as well as Nevada state law. And UNLV does not engage in such activity. Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice. Nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV honored all previously agreed upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka." I am 100% on the kid's side, too. I think that, in general, this whole thing has been a ridiculous, prior to the NIL stuff being even legalized, kids got exploited and taken advantage of for decades, for generations, really, if we're being serious here, while these schools raked in all the money. And clearly someone, it seems like, on this coaching staff promised them.
And yeah, lesson here, we'll get do it in, this. Right? Get it in writing.
Exactly. You got to get it in writing. All right.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Episode 3 of Aaron Hernandez, American Sports Story on FX, aired last night. Did you watch it, and do you care?
I do care. I didn't watch it. It's past my bedtime. Only episode 3? We're down to one a week now?
Yes.
Oh.
It was 2 in the first week because it was the debut.
Oh,
but yeah, now
perfect.
It's, now
so
it's
I can
one a
bang
week.
That. I actually may have watched it if I had known it wasn't 2 episodes last night.
Oh, right.
Okay. 10 o'clock's right around my cutoff time where it's like, I'm going to bed. I don't really want to start something new. I absolutely care. Give me a quick synopsis to make me care more when I go home to my Hulu tonight.
Okay, so it's national championship. Everybody's riding high. Everything's all very good. Urban Meyer's starting to have health problems because the team's stressing him out so much. He has this big panic attack. Aaron Hernandez goes back to Connecticut. First, Tim Tebow puts him on the righteous path. He goes to church with Tebow.
He found God?
Tebow gets him into God. He stops drinking. He stops looking at gay porn. He's doing all, you know, he gives all that up, which is a scene in the show. I'm not just saying that. And then he goes back home to Connecticut, sees all his friends. Start smoking weed again, sees his old quarterback there in the car. They're doing stuff, you know, like it was that whole thing. So he, I don't know, I guess he relad.
The things life he tried dragged to give him up, back.
It got him back, and then he goes back out to Florida. He's getting high. They get him a Wizenate. I'm giving away the whole show, but basically it's the next step in that. And the lead up to him getting drafted, which hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen Bill Belichick, played by Seymour Butts or whatever his name was. We haven't seen that guy yet, but I know that that's probably coming in the next episode.
Yeah. Interesting side note to this. I do care, but listening to the Billy O'Brien podcast, Games with Names, with Julian Edelman, he said unequivocally Gronk is the greatest tight end ever, and he believes that Gronk and Hernandez may just have been the greatest tight end duo in the history of football. And I was like, whoa.
I think that's probably true.
Now, he coached him. He's biased. Like, there's a little thing there.
Also, I don't know who I'd put as the number one duo tight ends anyways.
I think they're probably the number one duo.
That's
but I
Andy
still
Hart
think,
rule. If
I
you say
think...
something's the greatest of all time, you got to tell me who they replaced. I don't know who the best tight end tandem is of
all
time.
I'm not sure, but I still think Gonzalez over Gronk. I still have him overgrown.
If Gonzalez was a tight end, I'd take him, but he's a
big
wide receiver.
Was a tight end.
Wide receiver.
Okay. What position did he play?
Big wide receiver. Hey, you can put any label on it you want. Jimmy Graham had to fight against this because of people like you. They just believe the label. He's like, wait a minute. I line up wide 87% of the time. I'm not a tight end.
Gonzalez didn't line up wide 87% of the time. He played in the 90s, all right? He wasn't doing all that. He lined up wide sometimes. Lined up in the slot a lot. Lined up on the end and blocked, by the way, for Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles, which no one ever gives him credit for because of that one Pro Bowl where he didn't block somebody on a kickoff, which who the hell cares at the Pro Bowl?
Why are you a Gronk hater?
I'm not a Gronk hater. Feels I just think Gonzalez should get much more credit because he did all that with Brody Croyle and Trent Green and admittedly Matt Ryan at the end, but never with Tom Brady for his entire career. Come on. Gronk had Brady his whole career. You telling me Gonzalez had that, he wouldn't have better numbers? He definitely would. Definitely would.
I don't know.
And they'd be much better.
If he played the position in a physical sense like a real tight end does, he would have had a shorter career. Gronk put his career and his body on the line for the betterment of the team.
Gonzalez was still better, though. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. Oh, no, wait. No. We have one more. Do you care?
I don't care.
Rowdy Tellez DFA'd before getting a bonus.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Not cool. He had 4 at-bats to go before collecting like $600,000, and the Pirates DFA him. About the least cool thing you could possibly do. Give the guy a break, Pittsburgh. What are you spending that money on anyway? It's not that much. And Rowdy Tellez, I like guys named Rowdy. I think that's cool. Rowdy Roddy Piper, love Rowdy. Rest in peace, by the way. And Rowdy Tellez are the only two I can think of right now, but I like them both.
I also think that's one of those things where people say, that's why you're the Pirates. That's why you're Pittsburgh. That's why you're a minor league team playing in the major leagues or whatever. Like, be a first-class organization. 4 games? Was it 3 games or 4 games?
I think it was 4 games or maybe even like 4 at-bats.
It's a tiny number.
It was, maybe 1 game.
That's
worth
dink
of at-bats.
Move.
Very,
That's
very much
dink
so.
Dink move.
Belichick used to do that. He used to do that with guys who were
not always. He actually would do the other thing.
Well, sometimes he did.
He paid off things that guys didn't reach. They weren't huge
numbers. Guys when they had like one more catch to go before they whatever. But yeah, either way.
Who's the example?
I'm trying to think. I remember it happening.
Because I can tell you, he put Deion Branch back in a blowout game to try to get him 1,000 yards.
Thing.
He actually caught it, and there was a penalty. Didn't count. And then he's like, this is stupid. I'm not going to keep
doing I should have looked this up before I brought it up, but I will find the
name. You're besmirching the name of the great Bill Belichick?
Yes, I am. All right, one more.
Yeah, who cares?
Okay, so the Boston Celtics have two diva players with two new diva shoes. Jason Tatum's new Nike Jordans are out. If we could look over here on Twitch, those are the Tatums on the left. And on the right are Jaylen Brown's new shoes, which he has released through his own new company. He's basically like LeVar Ball with the baller shoes is what's going on here. And I believe it's the 741s.
Yes.
And Jaylen Brown's numerology. Really into like numerology, which I know. So I've known some people in my life who were very into numerology, and they were way out there, man. Like they were wow. Like
okay, this doesn't need
like another planet. So I'm just when I hear numerology, I immediately think of like the weirdest people I know, and that's what this whole shoe thing is about. So that's all. I mean, I just
but let's stick
I'm not
to
saying
the
it's
shoe.
Bad. I just think it's weird. Anyway, what do you think of these two shoes? Do you care about these shoes?
I do care about them. I think it's interesting that Jaylen Brown is now a competitor to Nike
right.
and a competitor to Jordan. His buddy, they both have their own shoes, and I want to see the Jaylen Brown one. I kind of like the Jaylen Brown one, but I want to see it in a different colorway or whatever the kids call it, like different colors. The black and the gold, I don't love. If you give me, I don't know, I don't even know what I would want, blue with some orange or something else, I might like that shoe. Now, I will be interested to see, is it popular? Does it hold up? I don't even know what it costs. Like, what is the price? Remember the Balls wanted to sell shoes for like $500.
Yeah.
So all
they were so bad too. They were
but
bad
there's
shoes.
Also some guys go the other way. Mm-hmm. There's been players that have done their own shoe and then try to sell it through like
right.
Kmart at $80.
Shaq did that, I think.
Yeah.
Or like
so,
Elijah White. Yeah, guys did that.
I would like to see that be the tactic that Jaylen Brown takes. But if you make me just pick either one of those shoes right there, the colors we just saw, I'm taking my guy JB's.
Let's see him again. Can we pop them back up on the screen, please? These, if you're watching on Twitch, twitch.com, WEEI. I like the Jason Tatum shoes.
So do I.
I think those are nice-looking shoes. I do.
I'd wear those, too.
I'd wear those more than I'd wear the Jaylen Brown ones.
The one thing I like about the Tatum shoes
is
they've had a ton of different colors. Over the last couple of years, the models have come out in probably 40 different color schemes, so I like that.
There was a time where it seemed like everybody on the Celtics was wearing pink shoes. Right?
Well, pink was
in like 2 years ago. Everybody had these like very fluorescent neon pink shoes. I'm glad they're moving away from that, but I do like the Tatum
shoes. What's wrong
with pink? I don't know.
You like flowers or whatever the hell this is?
They're not manly enough for our character.
Not manly enough. Yeah, I need a manly shoe. Like that one right there. Like the, it kind of looks like he stepped in like radioactive sludge. You know, like that's kind of what it looks like. And I think that's a cool look. Anyway, that's Do You Care?
I do.
Here on a Wednesday. 617-779-7937.
I care.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Greg.
E from Brockton says, looks like crap.
Which one?
The, I don't know. Just shoe looks like crap.
Oh, and Monty Mac says, didn't Marbury make the cheap sneaker? Yeah,
yes.
The ones. Those and ones. I had a pair of those in high school, and they fell apart because they were cheap.
Well, that's my one. Remember when, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? The Pelicans superstar.
Zion Williamson.
Zion Williamson.
Remember when he came out of his Nikes? Well, that's Nike. You can get past that. If that happens to Jaylen Brown on like the first time he cuts this season, his shoe falls apart, there goes your 741 company.
It's true. Although Jaylen Brown did put on some weight. He's not quite to Zion yet, but yeah, I'd say.
Oh, cheap shot.
It's a possibility. What? Zion's
he's
a big fella. That's all.
Zion's a little softer around the midsection.
Zion's, yeah.
JB is ripped. JB, do you see his arms?
Zion's been eating those beignets down the
Exactly. JB has just been like eating weights.
I'm just saying, but that's why the shoe exploded, because he put on weight and he's put on pounds of muscle, so it could possibly happen to him too. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll continue with the Celtics conversation next hour.